right, so let us stand to the reading of the word in St. John, the 11th chapter, verse 24, 25, and 26. This is a chapter where Jesus goes back to the loss of his friend named Lazarus. Verse 24, when Jesus is speaking to Martha, Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Verse 25, and Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." If you want to underline that in your Bible, that's going to help you later on. "He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And he asked a profound question. Do you believe this? God asks you every day, do you believe this? You may be seated. The ST this morning, Christ's resurrection. Christ's resurrection. Jesus rose on that third day.
Yeah.
And everybody on the planet's got to make a decision. Who is that to them? From the youngest to the oldest. And once you reach an age of understanding that information, God's going to be holding you accountable. Because it is his finished work that he's asking you to what? To believe. He's the only one that can see your faith and see your willingness. And I think a lot of times in our Christian walk, we don't willingly want to do things God's way. That's why the church is suffering. Because a lot of people are not willing. God looks at the gate of a person's willingness every day, and he sees, am I going to be Lord over your life? Am I going to be in control? You might want to write these points down. These are some past teaching. Seven things we have been asking you to look at in your life. First of all, do you believe Jesus is God? Do you believe Jesus is God? If you come in, if you walk away with any other answer, you're going to be thinking wrong. Because it's the second part of the Trinity that came down and died on that cross. Do you believe Jesus is God? Second, do you believe Jesus is your Lord? Do I need to repeat that again? Do you believe Jesus is your Lord? Let me say it a third time. Do you believe Jesus is your Lord?
Yes.
Third question. Are you doing what he has said? Because he's giving you instructions.
Amen.
And you show God every day. Have you heard him? Are you doing what he says? Are you doing what he says? Fourth, what did he tell you to do? He's going to tell you to do something generic, and he's going to tell you to do something specifically to you. And when he tells you to do something at that point, you're going to be held accountable. And you tell God whether to continue bless you to the fullest or let him step back and let Satan have more of your life. What did he tell you to do? Fifth, if it's yes, what are the details? If God tell you to do something, he's going to give you some details, right? He just ain't going to tell you to do something and leave you out there on your own. He's going to give you details to the instructions, and that's what's called a rhema word. Six, are you obeying those details? If God told you to read your Bible, what's a good thing to do? He's looking at the willingness from simple stuff to grander stuff. Are you obeying those commands? And what's the last one? The seventh thing that's most important. Are you sure that you love him? Somebody that you love, you don't have to force them to do something for you, right? But if you don't love somebody, everything that you need to do for them, you're already cringing. Because you don't what?
Love them.
So that y'all have those seven things?
Yeah.
Let's begin. ST this morning. Jesus, resurrection. Christ's resurrection is the thing that God is constantly looking on the planet. Is he going to see his son through you, or is he going to see you through you? You tell God every day who's Lord. And when you do things your way, you're telling God, get out of the way, I'm in control. And God said, I died on the cross so that I may be seen through you. What is that a picture of? His resurrection here on the planet now through you. Have you been patient with somebody that does not deserve to be patient?
No.
That's an opportunity. Have you been kind to somebody that you don't want to be kind to? That's an opportunity. Are you forgiving somebody that you didn't want to forgive? It's his attribute if you've been saved and born again. Now let me stop with that point. I think a lot of problems is some of us not born again. If you're not saved and you're not born again, then he can't be lived out through you. This is a teaching church. That's why you come to church and you learn what does God say.
All right.
Not what does Pastor White say. What does God say?
All right.
And where is it found? In the Word of God. If you want to know what Christ is like, if you want to know what God the Father is like, you got to get into his Word. And his Word is going to teach you how he thinks and how he wants things done. When is the last time you picked up the Bible? What they used to say in that chili commercial, that's too long. You know that Wolf Brand commercial? I'm dating myself. What God wants to see is his Son. And let me just do this illustration. And I want to make sure you understand this. When a person joins the church, I think Sister Bradshaw didn't get this. When a person has joined the church, we always circulate this container through the classroom. What is a picture of? You are the vessel. You are the vehicle that God has saved, and he now comes and he lives in you. Now, we have had this through 96 or whatever, 80. I have sealed this up with some tape, and it's well cured. And so what I do is I circle around to the class, and I ask, them, can anybody open it up? Wow, when you got saved, you got sealed with the Holy Spirit. Can't nobody, even the devil himself, remove God's presence from you.
Amen. Amen.
So if you're saved, you have the living God living where?
In me.
In you.
Yeah.
The problem is, are you listening to him? That cross is inside of you, waiting to be resurrected. What's the title of today's message?
Jesus Resurrection.
Jesus Resurrection. God the Father is looking for Jesus to be resurrected through how you act, how you think, and how you act. And you know what we tell God as believers if we've been saved? I ain't gonna do what you want. Then we're telling God, I don't love you. I allowed that to happen to see if you're gonna let people see me through you. Can Christ be seen?
All right.
Can Christ be seen?
Amen.
We see in this text, Jesus went to the house of Lazarus because he had died. And he told Martha, verse 3 and 25, I am the resurrection. And when they asked Jesus, was he God and was he Lord? You know what he said? Two words. I am. He didn't have to explain anything. He's God. And when God say he's God, what does that mean?
He's God.
And it's up to you. Do you believe it? And he's telling you every day, am I the Lord and the God of your life? Let's look at this illustration. In the book of Luke, the 20th chapter, in verse 34, Luke, the 20th chapter, verse 34, let me set this up as she put that passage up. Luke 20, verse 34, there were some Sadducees that came to Jesus, right there in verse 27, and the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They said there is no resurrection. See how messed up thinking can be? And so they came to Jesus, and they were testing him. They were questioning him. It says, teacher, and the law does say this, but they took the law out of context. It says, if a man has a brother, and he dies, and he has a wife, but he has no children, and the man dies, then he asks, whose bride will he be? He will go to the next son, the next brother. Okay, and not having any children. And they went down a list of having seven brothers. And so she would go to each brother, not having any children. And when all seven other brothers died, then they were asked, when she dies, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus had to correct them and help them understand. Right there, verse 34. Jesus said to them, the sons of this age are married and are given in marriage. while they're alive, while they're human, while they're on the planet, marriage is authorized. But verse 35. But for those who are considered worthy to attain to the age, are you listening? And he's talking about when you get resurrected, and the resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. So these Sadducees had already taken the Deuteronomy 25th chapter out of context, because it was talking about legacy passed on to the for children, and they were talking about being remarried. And who's married, whose wife this woman gonna be? See how they added to the text? See how when you don't think right, you're gonna add stuff to the scripture that's out of context. And we do that right here between these two eggs, these two ears. We think wrong. And thinking wrong going to lead you to the wrong what?
Conclusion
and the wrong action. Look what it says in verse 36. Jesus said, for they cannot even die anymore. Now listen to this. There's going to be a resurrection morning for everybody. And everybody is not going to die the way the world see death. Everybody's going to get resurrected. And the Bible's going to explain, he says right here in this text, one to life and one to death. And he's comparing those that are going to go to heaven, and they are like angels. And for the sons of God being sons of the resurrection. This same Jesus that had authority to resurrect Lazarus is going to resurrect every human ever existed.
Amen.
Verse 37. But the dead are raised, and even Moses showed in the passage about the burning bush what he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
Yeah.
Now look what Jesus said. Verse 38. Now he is not the God of the dead, but the what?
Living.
The living. For all live in him. Everybody alive has been given the life by the same Jesus. And now he's going to call them out when he resurrects them. Is his new life being placed in them? Because if not, they're going to be condemned to go to where? Separated from God from all eternity. Have y'all got this?
Amen.
So them Sadducees had it wrong. And you know that's why they were called Sadducees, right? Because they were sad, you see. God is calling us to come forth to listen to his son. He that hath the son have what?
Life.
The life. He that does not have the son of God does not have
the life.
Can Christ Jesus be seen through
Amen.
You? What's the difference between Jesus and a picture of Jesus? You know what the difference between Jesus and a picture of Jesus? It only takes one nail to hang on a picture of Jesus. It took three nails to hang him on the cross. Which one do you believe? See, God said he died on that cross and he rose with what?
All power,
all authority. Do you believe that? Turn, if you will, to John, the fifth chapter. Jesus had to explain that resurrection is real. There's no false teaching. The resurrection is alive and well. John, the fifth chapter, verse 25. This same Jesus that died on that cross is going to be in full authority to resurrect every man, woman, and child on the planet someday.
Amen.
And the question is, what are you going to do about that? You're going to have to stand before him. Look what Jesus said in verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God.
Yeah.
Who is that? That's Jesus. And those who hear will what?
Live.
So nobody's off the hook. There's a resurrection morning for everyone. The problem is, where are you in that resurrection morning? Verse 26. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. What he's saying, the authority is in Jesus. Verse 27. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the what?
Son
of Man. Verse 29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in tombs, that's everybody that die, will hear his voice. So now he's trying to get them to understand there will be a resurrection morning. That's why Martha understood it. That's why Mary understood it.
Yeah.
They knew that there's going to be a resurrection morning for every person ever born.
Mm.
The question is, even if you don't believe it, it's going to happen.
Amen.
Verse 29. And will come forth those who did good deeds to the resurrection of life. And those who committed evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment. What's the most evil thing that a person can do? Rejecting Christ Jesus. Because that's the one that died for sin.
Yeah.
S-I-N, the fallen nature. That's why the Bible has the law put in place to show us we can't live it. Now let me look at another passage. And then we're going to bring things to a close. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. As you turn there, listen to this. Let me keep you woke. A backyard neighbor funeral. Mr. Green peered over his fence and noticed that the neighbor's little boy was in the backyard filling in a hole. So curious about the youngster and what he was up to, Mr. Green asked, "What are you doing, Jimmy?" And tearfully, Jimmy replied, "My goldfish died and I just buried him." And so that's an awful large hole for a goldfish, little Jimmy. So why is the hole so big and the grave is so big? And putting down the last bit of dirt on the soil, little Jimmy replied, "That's because he's in your cat." Brothers and sisters, death is going to lose its grip when Jesus speaks. And the resurrection power is going to be practiced and demonstrated through every person born. That's why the great white throne judgment is for those that are lost. They will be resurrected. Which one are you going to be at? Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 12. Verse 12.
Amen.
Jesus was trying to explain to them about who is in charge of this great resurrection day. Now, if Christ is preached, that's what Paul is trying to get them to see, that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? You don't believe there's a resurrection day?
Come on.
Verse 13. But if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. Verse 14. He wanted them to think. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith also in vain. Verse 15. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testify against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. See how we can believe the lie? If in fact the dead are not raised. Verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. It's in vain. You are still in your sins. Let that sink in. Verse 18. Then those also who have been fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Verse 19. And if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all people, men, most to be pitied. Let me just say this. If Jesus didn't be resurrected with all authority, it's all in vain. And we've been believing a lie. But Paul, if you look at the rest of that passage, you will see it wasn't a lie. It's the what?
It's the truth.
It's the truth. And you got to make a decision every day. Who is Christ Jesus to me?
Oh, praise the Lord for his word.
And he show you every day. Every day you sin, even if you don't know it. And he's trying to show you there's a holy God you got to give an account of.
Yeah.
Have you ever stole anything before? Deacon Brown would be proud of that. You ever lied before? You ever did some kind of sexual sin? You dishonoring your parents? Are you placing something else in God's place? Which is an idol? See, we do that so easily and think we're right. See how these Sadducees and Pharisees were doing this? They took the scripture out of context and was believing the lie instead of the truth. Do you believe God? I say, do you believe God?
Amen.
I like this illustration to back to life. A man and his wife and his cranky mother-in-law went on vacation to the Holy Land. And while they were there, the mother-in-law passed away. The undertaker told the man, he says, well, you can have her shipped back to the U.S. for $5,000, or you can bury her here in the Holy Land for $150. And so the man thought about it for a while, and he told the undertaker, I will just have her shipped back home. So the undertaker asked, well, why would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be wonderful to be buried here and spend only $150? And the man said, well, a man died here about 2,000 years ago, and he was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance. God is looking at, do you believe what he has done and now wants to be resurrected through you right now? All the things that you do for Christ will have an effect in eternity. God wants to see how many of his people are practicing the principles that will be alive and well in the kingdom to come for 1,000 years. You tell God where your priorities are. And we have been teaching at the church, God always looks at your willingness. Every day he looks at the door and the gate of your willingness. And when you don't want him, guess what? He backs up. But the sad part about it is, somebody that sees God backs up, call a demonic realm, Satan, they step forward. And a lot of us have more problems simply because we won't let Christ be what?
Lord.
Let him be Lord. Where's your commitment to the Savior? Look at your life every day. Is Christ really committed to you? On your job? In your home? Is Christ being seen? It's sad. A lot of us won't open our mouth to share the gospel with someone because we're afraid of what they might be thinking. See how foolish that is? Satan got a lot of people duped. Well, I don't want them to think I'm one of them holy rollers or one of them Christian fanatics. I'd rather for you to think I'm a Christian fanatic and please God than for you to think I'm some lunatic and go to hell or not get a reward that God has saved me. So now let me just close this out. If you don't know Christ, out of part of your sin, right now you need to make a decision. Christ died, he was buried, and he rose with what?
All power.
All